friend, a follower, an apprentice of Jesus. They are essential, actually, to be so. And they will help you to develop his knowledge, skills, habits, character, to be like him, to be in his kingdom. And all 12 of those, remarkably, can be picked up in a few verses which are on the screen there, Acts 2, 42 to 47. The New Testament church knew these practices. They knew the scriptures, a foundational one we're going to look at today. And so we're going to, as I say, do these over the next 2 years, these 12 practices. There will be other things along the way as well, but 12 practices to really take into our lives and become who we are, that we practice these areas. And clearly the Bible has to be fundamental to that. So that's one we're starting with, 5 weeks now and more in the autumn. Fundamental because it clearly tells the story of the Christian faith. And again, the New Testament disciples, they knew it. They knew how the Old Testament scriptures, their Jewish scriptures, pointed to the Jewish, to the Christian faith that they had discovered in the risen Christ, in him. And so Bible then, absolutely vital for our following of Jesus. And what I want to say is, this is not just an academic thing over the next 5 weeks and in the autumn. The test of it will be, do we follow it through by having daily reading of the Bible? Because if we are to be, if our faith is meant to mean anything to us, then surely we have to humble ourselves for at least a part of the day and give ourselves over devoted time to God. No distractions, devoted time to God. Now surely that is a part of just being humbled before God to do that and give ourselves over. So the test will be, do you have 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, maybe more of that devoted time? And scripture must be an essential part of it. If you do this, you will grow. You will be better, wiser, stronger for this life. You will be more like Jesus as you do these practices. So that's the test, and we're going to help you along the way. The five themes we followed but on the Old Testament, but there are things we can do to help you to read the Bible every day. People tell me there are things called apps. I don't know quite what an app is, but there are things that you can put on a... I'm sure they don't work with my Nokia phone or whatever, but apparently you can. And so we'll try and help you with that if that's where you are. But there's the old traditional ways of just paper, of just following a lectionary, following the readings is fine by me. And God still speaks in that way. He hasn't changed his mind, I don't think. So we can use that way too. But whatever you do, read it, take it into and become a person of the scriptures. So a quick run through today on the Bible and a what is it? We know this, don't we? How many books are there in the Bible? All shout out. Oh, one or two got that wrong. 66, actually. So 66, there are how many in the Old Testament? There are 39, 27 in the New. And you know, they are written just as history, poetry, hymns, pictures, parables, all different types of writing. And yet, extraordinarily, one story, one book. It's remarkable how it all holds together from Genesis through the Old Testament, the old failings, the coming of Christ, the New Testament, Revelation. It tells one story that is absolutely quite remarkable. The scriptures, so I should run through again very quickly, that the Jewish scriptures were canonized by the 2nd century AD, most of them before that. And that means they were put together. The ones that are authoritative, they thought these are the ones that we need to have, and most of them were actually done by the 5th century BC, or certainly by the 2nd century BC. The New Testament, you know, there are other writings. Why aren't they there? Gospel of Thomas and so on. Why aren't they there? Because the early church established over the next couple of hundred years, what are the closest ones to the story of Jesus? What are the ones that have the most resonance with the early followers? What are the ones that are the most consistent? They got put into our New Testament, and it was all finalized by the Synod of Hippo in 393. You know about its influence, surely. This was written in Time magazine a little while ago, but it's nonetheless true today. The Bible has done more to shape literature, history, entertainment, and culture than any book ever written. Its influence on world history is unparalleled and shows no signs of abating. Its influence of the Bible is there all around the world, in cultures around the world. It has been translated into, let's go higher or lower, more than 1,000 languages, higher. More than 1,500 languages? More than 1,800 languages? More than 2,000 languages? 2,000 languages. 2,000 languages. Don't record this bit. We'll play the Bible versus the Quran. Don't record this. I don't want to be on social media or whatever. How many languages has the Quran been translated into? Oh, 100, very, oh, so you got it on the sheet there. You know, yeah, cheating, but fair enough. So the Bible, over 2,000 languages, and the Quran, just over 100, and Shakespeare, it's only 60 apparently, and every year it is the best-selling book in the world. And one other remarkable thing we can say about the Bible is that one. Oh, we've done that one. That one. Banned in dictatorial countries. Almost or every time you get a dictator, they ban the Bible. And why? Because of its power, of course, to change lives and transform lives. Because we know this to be true, that as the writer of Hebrews said, it's so powerful, it's the word of God, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The writer of Hebrews said that. It gets to the soul, changes you. And you may we'll talk about a bit more and how that works in a moment, but it does, it changes you. And so it has to be read, you have to be hunger for it. I remember about the only time it's ever happened to me as a curate, preaching, was when I was a curate. I went to a church in Tame on an evening service, and as I started to preach, they all got their notebooks out and all started writing down because they were so hungry for what was going to be said. The only time it's ever happened to me, and maybe said something about my preaching. That hunger to want to know and pick up and then reflect and dwell on over the week was certainly ingrained into that church. And maybe they had gone through this process years before of actually saying, if you're going to know your faith, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to give time. You've got to do that. Jesus said there that when he worked out his vocation, how he was going to live his life, how did he do it? He kept coming back to what the scriptures said, concluding with that one. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So there has to be a hungering for the scripture. And then these key verses from 2 Timothy, which we're going to do the ABC, your A, B in here, and C roughly over there. Are you awake over there, Haley and Amelia and Abigail and Julie? Because you all look like C. But maybe some of you could help C in there, that part over there, okay? So A, you like to read, please, the first line there, and we'll all do the last bit together. So A, off you go. B. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's amazing verses about the Bible, Christians would believe then, has been given to us by God. He's breathed into it that he can tell his story and give his story to us. In summary, we might say this from those few verses. The Bible leads us to Christ and salvation. It teaches us truth and corrects error. It trains us in righteousness, whatever that means, work that out. But that's a big, big topic. And it equips us for every good work. That is what the Bible does. And so then we have to listen to the Bible as the story of the kingdom of God. The story of the kingdom of God. The whole story. And I've given to you a sheet, which I hope is going to be helpful. I think it's very, very helpful. This one here. I got it. This is from the Bible course. And this here will just tell you where the books of the Bible come in the whole story. So give me a Micah. Where does it come in the whole story? Is it Old Testament or New Testament, first of all? Old Testament. Where does it come in? You know the story. God brings the people together. They get put into slavery. They come to the promised land. It all goes wrong. The north and the south split. There are prophets arise. They go into exile. All the people, they come back to Judea. And then the intertestamental period, hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. Which one did I say? Micah. Where does he come? Prophets. And can you see whereabouts he is? Yep, so he's prophesying about the northern kingdom there. Is that right? That may be the south, actually. That may be because that's just a bit ambiguous there. But the ones on the top there, I think, are more about the north. Amos, Hosea, and Jonah are more about the northern kingdom. And then the others are a bit of combination of the both. But I'll take another one. Where does Titus, Old or New Testament? New Testament. And where does he come? Yeah, one of the letters after Timothy there. And so hopefully when you get a Bible reading, you can just pick it up. Where does it come in the story? And sometimes, when you're daily readings, you'll find, as I do, that what on earth is this all about? I'm not sure how much I'm getting out of reading Deuteronomy for the last 2 weeks from the Anglican lectionary. Actually, there's a lot I've got out of it. There's a whole powerful lot of stuff in Deuteronomy. Some of the verses, I just think, what are this all about? But then put it in the whole story and then move on. That's about part of the whole story. You don't have to get too hung up about a particular verse. And you don't understand, don't worry, but just see it as the whole story. And what is it aiming to do? What is the whole story? It is aiming surely to do this, to understand the Bible as the story of the kingdom of God. And we are to allow the principles of the kingdom of God to shape and form us. And what are those principles? There are many. There are many principles that you, I need to shape and form who we are. A first key one, it's about the glory of God. That verse from Exodus. I have appointed you, that's God's people, to show my power so that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. It's about God's glory being manifest across the whole earth, indeed the whole universe. How? By his grace to bring a holy people of faith and love, a society of justice and righteousness, a people of hope, joy and praise, a people that are perfect in Christ. That is the project. That is what the principles of the Bible are about. Redeemed people who will bring his kingdom and glorify God. And so we have to allow scripture to shape and form you into that image. And it is about becoming like Jesus Christ to be fit for his kingdom. More principles, read the Beatitudes. That's the person you need to become, a person who mourns, who hungers for righteousness, who is a peacemaker. All there, you need to be a person of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, love, gentleness, goodness, self. Those are the people you're being shaped to form, and you can only get it by immersing yourself in the story of the Scriptures. So it's for you, and that's just to remind you that you've got the timeline there to help you, and more discussion and stuff on the Tuesday evenings will help you to really pick this up and understand the whole shape. But finally, or nearly finally, we're just going to see a video clip that, right, I think that's right, is it, Murray? Is that okay?
Yep.
The next thing will be a video clip to show you, it's for you, it's vital, but it's for other people as well, the people you are alongside, why it's vital that you know the shape of the Scriptures. That Ethiopian needed someone to tell him. How on earth was he going to understand Isaiah? He wasn't any background in Jewish faith, presumably. He's an Ethiopian. How on earth could he understand what Isaiah was talking about unless somebody who knew got alongside him and explained it for him? That's you. The people out there, the Ethiopians who don't know anything about the Bible or whatever, they need you to get alongside them and say, this is the story and this is how it all fits together and you can understand it. How can I unless someone explains it to me? It has to be us, the Christian, you, explaining it to others. And so finally then, I hope this inspires you to really get engaged with this over the next 5 weeks and through. There'll be more in the autumn, but your daily humbling before God, that you'll want to become this person of giving yourself time over. We're all going to say this together, A, B, and C. Where's it gone? Sorry, I've just lost it. Okay. We'll all say this one together then, the concluding verse of all there, all together then. All scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. And read and understand the Bible for yourself. You will be better, stronger, wiser. You will be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you could become a Philip for others. Amen.